I'm Laura Vinroot Poole. For 20 years, I've owned Capital, an internationally recognized specialty store. Capital has never really been about fashion. It's always been about people. What we wore was created to share the meaningful journeys that inspire me. From the designers and friends I meet on the road to the men and women with whom I work each day.
Everybody wants to know her.
Lizzie Means Duplantis and Sarah Means are the lovely sisters behind Muir & Crosby, a collection of gorgeous handmade cowboy boots. I loved hearing their stories of their life together, from growing up on a ranch in West Texas to embarking on separate careers in New York City and eventually returning to Texas to launch Muir & Crosby. Sarah and Lizzie from Muir & Crosby, I am so excited to have you in person in the studio for the podcast.
Thank you. We're so honored to be here and to escape the cold snow that we had in Dallas last week. So
yes.
Sunshine's very welcome.
It was so exciting to have y'all in the store, and we're having a trunk show with you with your beautiful boots and also with Jody Candrian and her beautiful jewelry. The feeling in the store was so completely different than it has been for an entire year, and I'm really excited to kick it off with y'all.
Well, thank you, and it's so nice to be in person and to be able to interact with customers again, and I feel so inspired, honestly, after this trip, just kind of ready to get back to work, rejuvenated, and your team, Laura, I have to say, is phenomenal. I mean, every single human in that building and all the women with whom you work are so fantastic. It's been fun to be around them. And thank you for having us. And
thank you.
Thanks to them.
Yes.
Well, I think everybody that's there really wants to be there. And I think that's sort of an unusual thing.
You can feel that.
Yeah.
It's obvious.
Yeah. I think so. Your sisters, first of all, Sarah and Lizzie. And tell me where y'all are from.
I'm the older of the two of us, about 8 years. But we grew up on our family's cattle ranch in West Texas. So we're Texans through and through. And we're the fifth generation to grow up on the ranch, which is kind of cool. And we now live in Dallas, where we have Muir & Crosby. Our brick and mortar, our headquarters is there.
And your family still has the ranch and lives on the ranch, your parents? Or?
Yes.
Wow.
So it's been in our family since 1886.
Oh, my God.
And my dad grew up on the ranch, and my parents still live there. It's very much their main residences, and we raise cattle.
So it's a working cattle ranch,
and we get home and out west as much as possible. But growing up, you know, it was an hour from school. So we had quite the long commute and lots of time to be together, which I think is, you know, one of the reasons Lizzie and I are so close.
Yeah. And I think he told me it's West Texas. It's kind of near Marfa, correct?
Correct. Yes. So we laugh, like, you know, the Marfa that we grew up knowing is so different from the Marfa now in the coolest way. But we grew up going to Marfa when a cow needed to go to the veterinarian or for ballet lessons. Or to get blizzards at Dairy Queen. And now it's like where people come from all over the world to see world-class art. But one of the things about the area is it's really beautiful. And in particular, people talk about the lighting. Artists flock there to emulate the lighting in their art. And I think that's one of the things, too, that kind of has colored Sarah and I in our vision as we imagine our collections and that sort of thing. So it's kind of fun to harken back to our beginnings.
Tell me about the landscape and the colors. I mean, what do they look like?
So West Texas, you know, it's the high desert and the high Chihuahuan desert. And it's really known for these sweeping tibosa is the grass that grows in them, tibosa grass. And when it grows up, it kind of dries out. And when it grows tall, it dries out and turns this sort of golden, not yellow. It's really like more of a parched gold, I would say, sort of champagne-y color. And it kind of shines in the wind and it's always windy. It's like the beach, right? The mountains, it's always windy. And so it kind of moves like seagrass in a way, which is pretty. And then there are various mountain ranges and you can see, you know, from our house, many of them, but they really change with the light. And so in the mornings, they'll be more gray. And then later in the afternoon, they're purple and then blue. And then the sunsets are exquisite and the sky is so big. My dad always says, it's funny, the mountains sort of move based on the light from where you're standing, you know, just kind of the way things hit them. And so there's always some kind of discovery too in just the way things hit, or, you know, oh gosh, I never noticed that boulder there.
Whether
that cactus.
It be like color or structure, I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one more thing too about like the ranch and growing up there that I think, I mean, I really appreciate, especially now as I'm older and now as I'm a mother, but again, dad had two girls and a boy and he's a really hard worker and sets a fantastic example, but I love that he never kind of gave us a pass because we were girls. We were expected to get up when he did and with the men, and we worked cattle just as they did. And it kind of stunk in college because we had to come home at spring break to work cattle and everybody else was going to Mexico, you know. But I so appreciate that. And I remember one kind of funny story, and he still reminds me of this, but it's been a long day. We were home for lunch, and I kind of rode up next to him and got off my horse, and he said, "Hey, Liz, I'll take your reins and I'll why don't you run up in the house and make us a sandwich?" And I said, "Dad, I'm either going to be a cowgirl or I'm going to be a cook, but I'm not going to do both."
Did he laugh?
And we laughed. And he was like, "Fair enough, you know."
And then he walked up and made his own sandwich.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think I helped on the sandwich. I wouldn't be a brat, but I was just like, you know, I appreciate that, and I think he really instilled in us a work ethic that you know, has held true to today, and I'm grateful for.
How do you picture yourself in New York from that? Like, how do you go? How do you two girls go from outside of Marfa to New York back to Dallas?
You know, our parents are huge encouragers and have always really encouraged us to kind of get out and to experience other things. And so any opportunity we had when we were younger to travel or go to summer camp or, you know, learn something new, they certainly pushed us to do. But, you know, we do kind of laugh. My mom is a total city girl, and she's fabulous and very chic. In fact, my dad asked her to marry him 3 times. And she said no the first two because she just said she just couldn't imagine living on a ranch. She couldn't imagine the lifestyle, which, you know, it is a different lifestyle, and I respect that. But love went out in the end. And
is
so
she was a Texan then?
She grew up in El Paso,
okay,
which is in far, far west right. Texas. Point being, she always, you know, we got out quite a bit. And my dad especially loves to travel. When we were in New York, he loved to come see us, which is so fun. You know, would wear his cowboy hat because it just obviously didn't occur to him not to. I mean, he literally doesn't own a loafer or a dress shoe. I mean, he has tux boots, the whole thing.
And we'll travel, like, you know, in Europe, or we did growing up, like in the summers and stuff, and he wore his boots and his cowboy hat, and he was like a celebrity by the time we left Florence. Everyone knew John Means.
It didn't seem unusual to you growing up until you would go to Florence or to New York and you would see that nobody else's dad had that.
Well, and that's kind of, I think, how the business began. It was it was very much in our, like, aesthetic, I guess, to wear cowboy boots. And so Sarah and I had what we thought was a very chic collection growing up. And our cousins owned the factory in South Texas where our boots are handmade. So they're domestically produced and they're hand-lasted, which is really an impressive art. So they would allow us, because of our relationship with them as family, to play with custom colors and fabrications. So we came up with this edit of a really cool kind of collection, and we wear the same size, which is also super helpful. So we could justify anything. But so, again, like, we went to boarding school and then college, and then moved to New York. I was there about 10 years in finance. Sarah worked in fashion, but we wore our boots. So I went to Goldman Sachs in my theory pencil skirts. Didn't we all? have that theory closet and in my cowboy boots, and people loved them. And then kind of...
You literally wore them to work every day?
Oh, yeah. They were just kind of part of what I knew.
You know, to Lizzie's point, she was working uptown in a much more kind of serious environment, and I was downtown in a much more creative environment, and didn't matter. I mean, so many people on the street would stop and ask us, you know, kind of where we'd gotten them. And we just noticed that time and again, we really felt like, particularly for women, I didn't know where to send them.
Yeah.
Because so many of the cowboy boots that were ready to buy off the shelf were, you know, kind of made for men and tweaked for women, or, you know, frankly, rhinestones and hot pink. And we kind of felt like maybe designed by men for women rather than designed by women for women, which I think you'll appreciate.
Well, and I also think made probably in Florence. I mean, not to disparage Italian shoes, but I think one of the things that's really interesting about your shoes, and I never knew it until I tried yours on, they feel unbelievable. They're so, so comfortable, and they're not, I never had cowboy boots before because they don't feel good. I mean, but yours are real.
Well, thank you.
But I think that's the thing. So when you would try, I'm sure when you would try to tell your friends, like, oh, I mean, Isabel Marant made a boot this season, you should try it. Like, you shouldn't actually, you should actually just wear yours.
Well, you're sweet to say that. But yeah, and to your point, like, we wear them traveling. We wore them up and down the streets of New York. And
my dad wears them to work every single day out on the ranch, you know, and he's in his cowboy boots truly all day and horseback and down and around. And so I think they have to be as functional as they are beautiful. And we've had such a fun time trying to focus on the beauty part, you know, because the function's kind of checked. They're perfectly, you know, so well made and handmade, which is obviously really special.
When did you dream up the idea of really doing this together? You were both in New York at the time.
We were. So I think I kind of vividly remember we were going to Gramercy Park for market one day. Or no, yeah. Maybe Union Square Market, excuse me. And it was just a beautiful summer day. And I think I had on like a yellow Mexican dress and my boots, and Sarah had something kind of similar on. But we were stopped on the corner, and I was just like, gosh, do you not feel, we were been together that day and maybe had a couple drinks at brunch. I don't know. But I was like, do you not feel like this just seems to resonate like across the board, men, women, young, old? Like it's so cool that people – I think there's something about the cowboy boot. It's such a romantic silhouette. Mm. It's kind of all Americana. I was like, let's do something where we fill the void in the market for what's kind of an upscale kind of chic contemporary boot. And Sarah was kind of like, yeah. But it became a conversation we had. Kind of,
we just fixated on it. You know, at birthdays, we'd drink champagne and talk about how fun this is going to be. Or when we were bored on a hike on the ranch, we'd, you know, plan out how cool the studio would be and talk about designs and colors and kind of the point where it got a little obsessive.
Yeah. But it was kind of something we talk about all the time that we might do in our second careers. And I was getting married at the time and having children, and Sarah was going on to law school. And then it was kind of one of those things, I don't know, Laura, like, and I'm sure the Lord's hand was in it, but suddenly, like, someone kind of approached us about, they'd heard we kind of had this idea, and then space opened up in Highland Park Village, which we were really excited about being there. And we approached our cousins at the factory, and maybe a little hesitantly, they took on our project, and it snowballed. And so we've been in business for 3.5 years now.
Wow. So. It feels like longer. And to be honest, the product itself, it feels like longer also because it's so refined. It's so beautiful. I've never seen anything like it, and I've never felt anything like it. I've said that before, but I don't know. I'm blown away by it.
Well,
truly.
Thank you. Coming from you, that's a huge compliment. So
I try on a lot of shoes. So we'll see. I'm actually the fit model for the shoes. I'm a 6.5, so I actually have tried on pretty much every shoe on
that's
earth.
That's great. That's really fun.
Talk to me about growing up. What's your first fashion memory?
Oh, my grandmother, my dad's mom, who lived on the ranch with us, was really, everybody says this about their grandmothers, I think, but ours was really chic. And
it was your paternal grandmother?
Mm-hmm, paternal. Yeah. And she always, always, always kept a copy of the Neiman's, the book.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Neiman Marcus catalog was called the book.
A real Texan.
We are Neiman's kids, being the Texans that we are. And it was always on her coffee table. And I remember Lizzie and Coley, my older brother, who's in between us, were at a basketball tournament or something with our parents. And so I was staying with Grammy, our grandmother, and she had this green leather sofa in her office. And so I remember getting the book and then going and sitting next to her by the hour. And we were talking about the looks in the book. And I vividly remember this so well. And I think that really kind of sparked my obsession with fashion magazines. But I mean, I was 5 or 6. I really remember it really well.
Well, and even, I mean, catalogs more than magazines, right? I mean, yes. I grew up with that too. It was such a thing.
Absolutely. Nobody needs the copy. Just give me the picture.
Exactly.
Well, and we should preface this conversation by saying Sarah is much more fashion forward and loves the fashion. I've always, again, I'm like the, you know, operations side of the business. So really, she's kind of brought me along on this journey. Like I kind of, you know, she rolls her eyes all the time. I'm like, what was the latest one?
So that's not true at all. In fact, you know, my elder fashion years really were started by Lizzie when she introduced me to 7 jeans.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
And she was in college and I was a little younger, and that was game changing, Laura, game changing.
We actually had one of the founders of 7 come in the studio and design boots recently. I was oh my gosh, you know, it's the first
meeting Calvin Klein.
Yes, exactly. Really cool. So.
And then shopping, did you make a pilgrimage? Like y'all would go to Dallas with your mom for back to school shopping.
Exactly. And so it's so funny. I kind of feel like we only really shopped twice a year. Do you know what I mean?
And then it became like a big kind of, we went on girls trips and now we still do them. And we kind of would get to New York like in August and kind of do a big haul, which was so fun. And we still do that now. It's kind of migrated to being more on the holidays, which is really special and fun. My first fashion memory, this is kind of fun. So how would you describe my personality?
We would say, Lizzie's, you know, borders on things. I'm kidding. She's the most charming, most gregarious, most fun person
in
the room
all
the time.
I like a little spark, a little color.
But definitely not subtle, this one.
Yeah. So we were flying into New York and I was young. I mean, maybe in junior high, I remember my mom leaning over and I was like staring out the window. You know, you come in over the city and you can see the Statue of Liberty and surrounded by water in Manhattan. It's like this. And I remember dad being like, you know, when you think about how small Manhattan is and all that's on it, it's just amazing.
It's just a little
island. He made some reference to like how many Manhattans could fit in Texas. And I was like, what? You know? But I remember mom saying, Lizzie, they say this is the city that doesn't sleep. You're going to love it. And I was just like taken with it from the moment we landed. But we were staying at a hotel and there was a cute little kind of shoe boutique on the corner. Others, there are so many. But I remember there was this pair of cherry like patterned platforms in the window. And I was like, Mom, have to have those cherry platforms. And she was like, absolutely not. Like, where are you going to wear cherry platforms, you know, in Van Horn, Texas and on the ranch?
And didn't they have white patent straps?
White patent
something
straps.
Something really, really special. Like white
so
patent
special.
Straps.
Oh. Anyways, long story short is I pocketed money throughout the trip. Like, you know, here's money to go to the concession stand during a Broadway show, or here's money to get peanuts at the Yankees game, and saved up enough and snuck out and bought them and stuffed them in my sheet case and brought them home. And Mom, we got past it. But honestly, I'm so proud of those stinking shoes. I loved them. I wore them a ton. I got a ton of compliments from them too. I think I brought platforms to West Texas.
Oh, you're such a trendsetter.
I really am.
I love it. You brought platforms before the fake Prada store brought them to Marfa.
See? See? It's just a foreshadowing.
Exactly. Oh, I love that. So, and your uncle owns the Rios?
Yes, Rios of Mercedes.
Of Mercedes. And did you grow up knowing it? And
absolutely. So we say the word uncle a little bit loosely, but you know how us Southerners are, yes. Everybody's family. And he really is. He's just my dad's cousin as opposed to being, you know,
but
sibling.
His age is uncle age.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Uncle Trainer. And he purchased the Rios of Mercedes factory, which actually has been in existence since the late 1800s. So it's been in our family since the 60s.
And in West Texas?
It's in South Texas, actually, okay. Right down in the valley. So in the tip of South Texas, Rios focuses, you know, mostly on wholesale. So they make boots that then go to larger retailers and all Western retailers. Mm-hmm. So, they really make true work boots. Beautiful, but, you know, right. Work boots for people that are really working in them. And they do nothing direct to consumer, but they would do customs for friends and family. So that's kind of how we snuck in there. But to answer your question, yes, we you know, went several times, had been there, and my dad, you know, has a custom last that all of his boots are built on and that kind of thing. And he gets 4 a year, and he has a black tux boot and, two brown boots. And, you know, it's beautiful. So it's ivy covered, and it has this sweet neon sign outside. And then you walk in, and really what's amazing about it is the artisans. I mean, men and women that work there have been doing it for many for generations, truly, and then many for decades. And two of the people that were there when my uncle bought it have now been there upwards of 50 years. Can you imagine if 5 decades? And it all really is done by hand. So totally hand lasted, hand finished. All of the heels are built by hand, all leather stacked, all of that. So it's really kind of blows your mind to go through and watch the production line. When you think about how many hours and how many hands hold each pair of boot, it really blows your mind.
It's fun to take people to the factory because I think until you're there, you're just like, gosh, like it's really eye-opening.
And also that's in America and that we don't know a lot about that, I guess, right?
And when so much is being, mechanized, it's really crazy to think about the amount of work that goes into a product that you choose to have made by hand instead of having something that could be machine made. But the double-edged sword of that is that, all of our boots are just a little bit unique. So because they're made entirely by hand.
Unique and they take some time to get in, which is the other kind of trick.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say too, that you have to be patient. I'm interested to understand the results of the trunk show and that what was bought off the rack, say, and what was ordered. Because I remember in 2008, trunk shows stopped being a thing because people didn't want to wait for anything at all. Like if they couldn't take it that day, the end. And I think there's something in the mindset of traumatic times, I guess, that people, they're kind of like, I don't even know if I'm going to be here in 6 months. Like, do I have to wait for, I don't know if I can wait 6 weeks for the book.
And when is that ever truer than this year?
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
So when y'all were in New York or when you were, I guess, in college or in just outside, you had started to have your boots made there?
Mm-hmm. So the deal was we couldn't have them made until our feet stopped growing. So it was really about, because they're totally custom made. So it was really kind of senior year of high school and then, on. And we received them, too, from our parents for kind of special occasions.
Yeah.
So we always say, it sounds pat, but the way that normal girls got jewelry, we got cowboy boots, custom boots. So, we have TCU ones that, for when we graduate from TCU. And
we pledge sorority. When we
got
Lizzie has cute baby boots for when her four children were born. Really sweet.
When we got married, and then we always laugh. Our dad was very eager to pay for boots when we broke up with someone. make us feel better. We got boots, which is kind of fun.
Oh my God, I love that.
But that was kind of, again, like they mark our life in a way. And it's really fun to pull a pair on and think, oh, it takes me back to a certain time or place. We want to translate that to our customers. And so we've done a lot of work on the program to make our boots, because they are heirloom quality, extra sentimental. Like we have this one really sweet aspect of our program by which a customer can handwrite a note that's then transcribed onto leather. in their handwriting, like a recipe card or something.
Right.
And then sewn in the liner of the boot. Oh. And it's so, we've had just the most like
heart-wrenching
and sweet and wonderful. Aww. And memorable notes come through. So
do y'all have a favorite pair of boots, and were they pre Mir and Crosby?
My wedding boots. I know that's a pat answer, but they're sky blue. They're stunning. Oh, how cool. And they have my new initials on them. And my brother and sister designed them and then gifted them to me as my something blue on my wedding day, which is really sweet.
And so, did you wear them down the aisle?
I did not. I wore, again, my mom was like, you may be a ranch kid, but you're going to wear some decent shoes in the church. As soon as I got to the reception, I flipped them out. So yeah, which was really fun. So.
And how about you, Sarah?
My favorite is definitely, it sounds like cheating to say one that we designed, doesn't it?
No.
But our Margherita boot, which is sort of our capstan boot, and it's filled and sprinkled with jumping stars and crescent moons, and it harkens back to the West Texas night skies, you know, under which we grew up. And it's the most special boot, I think, in our program. And I have a custom pair in navy and gold that have my initials on the front that are really special.
And one of the things I love about the Margherita is that the stars are jumping as opposed to shooting. Aww. And we loved the idea of them being kind of like omens for good fortune and blessings and good luck. So it's kind of fun. Yeah.
Love. Will you tell me a little bit about the trajectory and what y'all did in New York and kind of how that makes your partnership work so well? Because it obviously does.
I think it's a good indication for actually how our partnership works today, our backgrounds in the city. So Lizzie worked in finance and from there transitioned to Dallas and kind of when she was ready to start a family. But she's very much the business brain of our side, and Lizzie's wicked smart. So business operations, all that fun stuff. And then I worked for Loeffler Randall.
Oh, wow.
Which is a contemporary shoe.
Oh, interesting.
Shoe.
So his shoes.
Shoes, footwear. It's always kind of been a thing for me. And then my background, I was in the wholesale team, but I sat next to the production team and really kind of anytime I could try to help them out or observe what they were doing. I was always sort of obsessed with the production side. And I do our production now in Texas. And then neither one of us is classically trained. Mm-hmm. So we don't pattern. You know, when we have a design, we don't sit down and lay it out perfectly to scale just because I truly can't. But we work with a pattern maker in New York who's a dear friend as well. So
oh, interesting.
It kind of harkens back to that. We have some New York tied in too. And, you know, every once in a while she'll help us really refine, you know, a design or send us something she thinks is really cool. It's coming on the catwalk. And it always helps, I think, refine the collection a bit to have some more collaboration. That's really kind of how we delineate. Does that make sense? So basically, I probably am the creative director, for lack of a better word. Kind of live in that house. And then Lizzie's really the CEO.
Well, and it again, Sarah's right. It kind of is like our where we're most comfortable as far as like what our experiences have been up to now. But it's also kind of funny. And it's the best part, too. People always wonder about how we work together as sisters. And we're very different, again, as Sarah explained, in kind of our training. But also, Sarah always says, like, I am much more macro. Like, I have the big ideas and kind of the visions, whether or not they're always. You know.
And she's my idea factory.
And Sarah's, like, extremely meticulous, really, really, like, great at the details. She's able to, like, manage a ton at a time. She went to law school. She's really strategic in her thinking and her approach to things. But, like, all booming in the morning after having been home, you know, with the kids and been up early and that kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, Sarah, today we need to be in Asia. Don't you think we need to be in Asia? And Sarah's like, sorry, wait, what? Like, you know,
she's like, in every luxury department store in Asia, let's see a list. I want to see a list.
But I mean, it is actually, I actually am hearing this in a funny way because I feel like, Sarah, you sound like you're the practical one and you're the creative person. And then you, Lizzie, are the finance person, but you sound like you're sort of the dreamer.
It's so true.
That's so weird. So I love it.
Well, and but here's how it also works, Laura, is that I have the idea and Sarah makes it happen. So for example, Jenna Bush take the role of Kathy Lee Gifford on the Today Show, and she was going to make that big debut with Hoda Kotb, who we love, both of them.
Jenna's so cute.
And so I was, isn't she the cutest? Yeah. I love Jenna. I love Barbara too. But I was like, Sarah, let's get Jenna to get boots on the show. Like, wouldn't that be fun if Hoda gifted her a pair of Bing Crosby? Sarah's like, oh, today, is this really what I'm going to deal with? And so Sarah makes a couple phone calls, and guess what?
Well, and not to mention it was Wednesday, and she was debuting on Friday.
And Sarah got like her initials on them and got them sent up and she like had them on the show. It was so fun. But that's just a good example of kind of how Sarah gets it done after I had the great idea.
That's awesome.
No, not at all. Lizzie's wicked smart and definitely a doer. But it is to your point, you know, we try to use both sides of our brains all the time. I think
that's rare.
Keeps us sharp. So
no, I think people are usually really pigeonholed into one. And so I think it's interesting. It's probably why y'all work well together. Will you talk to me about the name Mir and Crosby?
Sure. So Marin is a play on our great-grandfather's name, and his name was Marian, but we liked Marin. It's also another word for myrrh, and we like the kind of biblical implications of this being a gift to God. But his name was Marian, but he went by Buck, and has all kinds of great stories, and he married this wonderful woman who was quite influential in my father's life, and she was a character. She married kind of a maybe similar story to my mom. She married a cowman in West Texas, and her family was kind of like, wait, what? What are you doing? And so she left her family. He was involved in the oil business in Midland, moved to far west Texas, and she told Bug at the time, like, well, I've just got to impress them every time I go back to Midland, the big city. And so she bought a Cadillac every time she went back to Midland to see her family. It was pretty funny, but they have cute stories. They were really, I think, charismatic, really wonderful people. So that's that. And then Crosby is a pasture on our family's cattle ranch, but also a street in New York we both lived on, and we loved the synergy of New York meets West Texas, and that kind of, I think, things that have influenced us in our lives and having started this business. So
how nice. Can you tell me what it felt like to see your boots with mixed with high fashion? I mean, did you ever think that would happen?
Oh, it was really special. But we got, you know, we started to collaborate and then we were in several design meetings with Problem himself, and he's so creative and it's so fun to watch his brain work. And he has an eye for color.
Great
unlike
color.
Anybody I've ever seen. And you know that about his prints, and oh man, it makes my mouth water. But he's also a joy to be around.
And talk about a dynamic personality. He's just fabulous. Really, like, he has a magnetic kind of personality. He's really cool. Yeah.
So him personally, it was so fun. And then we got to go to his show, which was so sweet of him to allow us to come when the collection debuted on the runway. And it was his 10th anniversary. And the theme for the show was Who Gets to Be American. And so he felt like including cowboy boots was a gesture kind of back to some of the Western roots in our nation and all that. So it was such a special moment. And of course, the looks were fabulous. But then to celebrate the collection, we hosted him in Dallas and had a mini runway show. Decided to open the show with Rodeo Girls horseback
kind of
pastel candy colored suits. And so they walked in with flags streaming behind them on horseback.
Way
that in the rodeo that Grand Entry comes in, they came in with Miren Crosby Loves Prabal Grong flags. And then there was a quick runway show, an abbreviated look.
They came into the Yellow Rose of Texas, which was fun.
Oh my God. Did you cry your eyes out?
Oh, we had so much fun. It was like kind of like my wedding, I feel
like.
You know?
It sounds like it.
It was really fun. I mean, just in the way that I felt that night.
Yeah.
And again, he was so gracious, and we had wonderful hostesses that evening and served ranch waters and had a big time.
All of our favorite things. It was very colorful.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. Any other dream collaborations?
Oh, I mean, yes. I actually told Sam the other day, hilarious. I was like, again, you know, I'm learning my fashion and I'm learning my designers, guys, so don't laugh. But I said, we really like – we're kind of starting to focus a little more on our men's collection too. I think that we're trying to kind of bring it up, and we've been so focused on our women's, and there's a lot to do with men. But I was like, I just think Tom Ford is so handsome and so dapper. I'm going to get him involved.
Yeah,
I feel good about it.
He's from New Mexico.
See, that's Sarah's job next week. I had the idea. And she's got to figure it out.
And then the week after that, every department store in Asia. I'm going to be busy, Laura. Think of me.
You're going to have a lot of work to do. Will you talk a little bit about the origin of cowboy boots and why they're special to Texans?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, the origin's really more out of necessity, but they're kind of the first reports of them really start in true South America and then also up through Mexico on the big ranchlands and all that. And then it matriculated north, but unique to Texas in that, you know, they were so functional. You know, people would gather their herds down in, you know, north, what now is northern Mexico, south, you know, Texas, New Mexico, kind of in the west, and then drive everything up north to Kansas City to market.
Right.
And the guys would get paid in Kansas City and bring all that cash back down and then order new boots when they got home. And this is kind of a fun story, but traditionally, custom boots had white piping up the side. And so several of our styles, particularly in our men's collection, boast white piping up the side. And that was how that was the sign that they were custom. That was the delineation there. But people would get paid, come home, make custom boots, and then wear them up to the next year and then get paid, come home, make custom boots, that kind of thing.
That.
So there are these great bootmakers, and they kind of follow, you know, the trail of the cattle drives, for lack of a better word.
Interesting. How many pairs do you have?
Oh, so again, Lizzie and I we're the same size, so we can really justify anything, and then, you know, love to collect vintage too. So it's getting to be a little bit of a problem.
We hoard a bunch of our parents' house, and mom's always like, you guys have got to get home and clean out these closets.
Oh my God, my mom dropped me a big box this week of stuff.
Don't you love that?
I do love it, but I'm also like, oh, I just want to keep it in my room at home.
I feel the same way. And I remember, like, my mom gave away all my sorority t-shirts, and I was like, Mom, wait, what? And she's like, Lizzie, you are 40 with children. You're not going to wear these. I'm like, but those need to be in my room at home, you know? It's just so funny.
My daughter raids my room at home all the time, and she'll come in, you know, she'll walk in, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I knew I wanted to see that again.
I am so jealous. I bet your closet is fun. I bet the archives of your closet are fun, too.
They're good, but they're same, like, boarding school hippied out.
Oh,
like,
so cool, though. Oh, I love that.
Wait, to that point, though, you spent some time in West Texas, or in the West? Arizona or New Mexico?
No, my brother lives in Arizona. Oh, yes, I did.
Well, Didn't you want a scholarship or a Fulbright or something really cool?
Oh, yeah, right. Yes, absolutely. It was a Fulbright. No, I dropped out of college, actually. I went to Chapel Hill, and I dropped out of college, and I did a Knowles semester. And it was in New Mexico, but it was also, that was the first time I went to Marfa, because we drove down and we canoed down the Rio Grande.
So cool.
Yeah, and this was, I was 20 years old or something. So same thing, like Marfa was not Marfa. No.
Different, isn't it? Pretty part of the world though.
Oh, it's spectacular. It was one of the most incredible things I've done in my life, the canoeing down the Rio Grande.
That's cool. You're lucky to catch it in a year that had water in it.
Right, it's easy, right. Just, you know. Yeah, it was in October, November. So interesting too. Every other night we would sleep either in Texas or in Mexico.
It was so cool. Yeah.
Lizzie, what do you admire most about Sarah?
Oh, I don't even know where to start. No, and I say that so, like, heartfelt. I mean, she's my best friend. I tease Seth, my husband. He's wonderful all the time. I'm just like, oh, I feel kind of bad though. Like, if something happened, I'd want you.
Yeah, you're so not Sarah.
And she's just my rock, and she's really, really good about I love how I can come to her with a problem or a concern or even an exciting idea. And Sarah's really, really good about thinking through it and coming up with a really kind of great answer and approach, or just she's just kind of my life coach in so many ways. And just she really is. She's like the most humble, most noble. I see behind the scenes what she could do or what we could, you know. She's just always on the up and up, and I admire her greatly for her character as well.
How about you, Sarah?
Oh, Lizzie has truly the biggest heart in the entire world, and people are really drawn to Lizzie, and it's you can see naturally why. She's the most truly outgoing, gregarious person in the room. Makes sure everybody feels important because they are to her. They're so important. She's the people always say that, you know, people are really, I'm a people person. And she really is, like, kind of in a way that I think is amazing, and I've never seen anybody else. But biggest heart, and truly too, she gets so much done in a day. It would blow your mind. I mean, she has four children and runs her business, and we work really, really hard and have a really small team, particularly right now. And you know, marriage and friendships and volunteer work and, you know, her church work. I mean, she's amazing, truly amazing. So if I could be anybody, I would be half as productive as Lizzie in a day and half as charming.
It's really sweet. Helps to have a good partner. So there you go.
It does. Do you think y'all ever move to the ranch?
You know, that's so funny. I had this conversation recently. I took some friends to our ranch in New Mexico. We also have one in Texas, and was saying, I really think I could live here. I'd love to. I don't know what the social scene would look like. You know, seriously, yeah. I mean, I don't really know who you'd run around with and what going to dinner would look like now.
You'd have to go up to Ohio.
Yeah, to make new videos, like, come back down the Kansas Trail. But Dan and Dad, I could totally live there. I love it, and it's also a ton of work in its own right. But I probably could.
What about you, Lizzie? Lizzie's like, no.
Well, here's the deal. I love the ranch. It's where I go, where I feel most grounded, most safe. It's my retreat. I love, too, that my children are, you know, the sixth generation to spend time there. I remember my dad saddled a horse for my daughter the first time she rode, and he kind of teared up, and he was like, wow, like, June is the sixth generation to ride a horse. Aww. On this ranch. It's really, really precious. It's really such a neat, that not a lot of people have, and so I don't take it for granted. That said, to Sarah's point, I'm extremely social and probably need a few more people around.
Yeah. And you got a lot of people in school. And
we got a lot of people in school.
That hour drive.
Yep. We laugh. So when we were growing up, we had a school car. It was an old Crown Victoria. And whoever was old enough, and there was quite a few families live on the ranch. Right. So there was lots of children going to school, which is fun. They were all our best friends and that kind of thing. But whoever was old enough drove the Crown Vic to school. And at one point it was me. I was a third grader. We have all kinds of kind of rogue experiences.
But Laura, we would pit, and this is NASCAR country.
Yeah.
Here, we could pit a pit crew to shame. Yeah. We could change a flat tire, and I was obviously the littlest, and it was my job to just stand there and jump on the, you know,
right.
the thing. We could change a tire in like 2 seconds.
But we had to make the bus. We'd be late for school, and then there was tardies or late for like things like volleyball practice and stuff, and then you had to run. So, you know, we had to get that tire changed.
I bet y'all, when y'all got to New York, you were like, give me more, like, show me something hard, people.
No, not at all. Not
the
at
Texans
all,
are different people. Like, y'all really are different people.
A little eccentric. I'll say thank you, but I think that's what you mean.
It's such a compliment. No, it's a different planet.
It really is.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Unto itself. It's true.
Oh, I love Texans. I love Texan women. I mean, they're just the coolest.
I'm going to agree with you on that. I am too.
A lot of our listeners are aspiring entrepreneurs. Can you talk about the most difficult part of starting the business?
For me, I think it was starting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the hardest part of starting is starting. and not, you know, not necessarily that I'm a procrastinator, but I think that I honestly could have sat in the store and never, ever unlocked the door and let anybody in that first, you know, that first day, because I just didn't feel like, you know, the SKUs in our point of sale system were perfect, or, you know, that there was a brown thread where there should be a black thread on one side, you know, little things like that. I think that I would never have kind of started. You know, the same is true of my math homework. It was really hard to start. And so I hated starting.
Hey, but you know what? That is a characteristic of a perfectionist.
And Sarah has one.
Yes.
That's sweet. I don't know about that, but that's what I would say.
That's
Lizzie,
not a compliment.
I know. I'm working on it. I am. But I think, yeah, for me, that was it. But Lizzie will have a better answer.
No, I don't have a better answer. But I think, too, I encourage people to use people around them who have gone before them,
right,
and who have done things, and like use your network, like talk to people and bounce ideas off people, let them give you feedback. And I think when you start to be validated by people saying, oh yeah, that's a good idea, or have you thought about, and I would, you know, consider, you start to piece it all together, it'll start to take motion, and people will be excited for you and be supportive. We laugh. So, for example, I really, really think that Mark Cuban is a fantastic businessman, and I really respect a lot of how he approaches his business and businesses and all what he's done and how far he's come. So I email him all the time.
No, we laugh. Mark Cuban's Lizzie's unpaid life coach.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he emails me back.
I love it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just ask. And I've gotten all kinds of great, like, lessons from him. And but anyways, it's just a good example of people want you to be successful, and they want to be supportive. And,
totally
and honestly, they're really flattered. So ask them.
I think people want to help you.
They want to help you.
And I think coming with a specific ask when you ask that is really important.
Agreed.
So do the work to refine your idea enough that you can articulate it and ask the question, and then let them answer it.
Agreed.
And do it in a way that saves time for them.
Exactly.
Whether that's a quick phone call or, yeah, you know, sometimes like lunch can be hard to... But if, you know, I just shoot Mark a quick note and he writes back.
I love it. That's awesome.
Oh, Liz, I'm sure he'd love to go to lunch, though.
He will. He doesn't even know it's coming. We're going
to
be best.
I'd like to see him on the ranch. What does success look like for Mir and Crosby?
So I bet we both have different answers to that, Sarah.
I'll go first. Okay. You want me to?
Yeah.
I think success for me, for Mir and Crosby, looks like cowboy boots being really de rigueur in every kind of buddy's closet, right? So not just a fashion gal, not just a Texan, not just, you know, just truly in everybody's closet, like the way that everybody has a sneaker or everybody has a dress shoe or everybody has a loafer or a great sandal. I think to me, success looks like that also being a cowboy boot.
Well, I can promise you that if they try on yours, then they will be. Truly.
That's kind. Well, I remember vividly, my brother-in-law is super chic, lives in New York. He and his partner have the cutest little 12-year-old girl. Now I can't believe Julia's 12.
Aww.
But he's a huge mentor to me and counsels me greatly in lots of our business ventures. Sarah and I had a conversation with David as we began the business, and he said the same thing. He was like, kind of put some goals out there, you know, and he was like, what would you just die over? And I was like, David, if we're ever in Vogue, I'll just fall over. Like, I can't even imagine, you know. And since then, we have been, which was super, super exciting. And it's one of those things, and Sarah and I talk about it a lot. It's so we've got to be good about kind of like relishing those moments and realizing when a dream or when an aspiration or when a goal is realized. And so I think that's really special. And going forward, honestly, Laura, like, I'm so thrilled to even be sitting with you today. The people we've met along the way and the connections we have now and people who have taken interest in our business is a real sign of success, I think. And I think too, personally, I feel so fulfilled by our business. And I think that there's something to that as well, you know, call that success. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And I will warn you, just 25 years in for me, there is not a lot of celebration in fashion. Maybe it's just not in business in general, but there's not a lot of reflection or celebration. And I think it is really important to...
And why is that?
I don't know. It's always looking forward. It's always, it's, you know, true. There's just very little of like, hey, that was really cool that we did that.
I don't know if it's because it moves so quickly or what, but I completely agree with that.
We try really hard to do it differently. I mean, and that's from working with a coach, a leadership coach, but our whole team tries to celebrate more because it's a hard business.
It's funny. I feel like the highs are really high and the lows are really low. Yes. And I wonder if that, but literally, Sarah, you can vouch for me, on the same day, we got a note that we would be published in Vogue, which we were super excited about. And we found out that someone was knocking off our boots and selling them. And we had to get on a phone with a lawyer to discuss sending out a letter to cease and desist. And it's just like, I didn't even know where to go. I mean, I had to leave work. I was so overwhelmed.
You're like, I don't even know how I'm feeling right now.
Exactly. I was like, we're going to need some margaritas. I'm going to need a minute, you know?
Well, and in a way, you also could celebrate being knocked off because that's pretty cool too. Said.
That's exactly what Sarah was like. So see, we've made it. And I was like,
you should have added that to your list of North Stars for today. Yeah.
When someone copies us. Yeah. Oh, man.
I think, too, Laura, you're so good about this, and you've set such an example of that for us. But we've particularly been really touched by the women that have championed us and kind of helped us along the way and our mentors. And I think you do a fantastic job of that, especially. But something Lizzie and I really want to work on, taking advantage of, but also extending to people. And so that's a real focus for us.
I think the most important question on the podcast, I have to know what you both wore to the prom and where in the world did you go to get it? Mm-hmm. Who wants to go first? Lizzie?
Okay. So, well, I went to two proms.
Which
is fun. I went to junior prom and senior prom, which was really, really fun. But this is hilarious. My junior prom story, I do not know what the label was, Laura, but mom took me to El Paso, which was 2.5 hours away, to pick it at Dillard's. And it was lavender. So you remember this?
I'm going to say it was a special shade of lavender.
It was a special shade of lavender with silver and like daisies that made up the straps on it. Is that fair?
And they were metal, right?
I think so.
Well, that sounds really pretty.
Well, you know, I thought so. My mom, it's so sweet. And she, like, you learned too. Like, I was in high school, you know. And yeah. I was like, oh, mom just doesn't get it. This is so cool. And she's like, you just, lavender is not your color, you know. And it real. I looked back at pictures, but.
You look like a corpse.
I really did. But two things. One is that we, you know, we're from West Texas. Everyone worships Selena.
Right.
Do you know this?
Right, sure.
And so I went through this period where I, too, outlined my lips in brown lip liner.
Yes.
So I had my lavender dress, my brown lip liner lips, and then did my hair like her, which was like, you know, lots of Aquanet hairspray. And I thought I looked fabulous. But when we got home, we realized that the security tag had been left on. And at the time, it was one of those, when you open it, ink spews everywhere.
Lizzie, what?
And we're 2.5 hours. And I think this was like on a Sunday, and we, you know.
I think it was maybe when you put it on. I mean, it was prom
you're right.
day.
You're right. Oh, yes, exactly right.
My God.
But I have a more mischievous friend, shall we say, Chris,
who was able to come over and get it off.
Never really asked him why he knew how to do that.
Right.
But there was nowhere in our hometown to take it. I mean, nobody had that kind of machine, right? There wasn't retail like
and
that.
And my cute prom date, he's still a good friend of mine, took me to his grandmother's restaurant. We had enchiladas before, and mom was like, you're eating enchiladas, red enchiladas in
on
your
a lavender.
Yeah, dress.
But listen, if the ink could have blown up, it could have been like a dip dye, navy. That could have been cool too.
But here you go.
But your mom would have been happier, maybe.
Only an artist would come up with, and it'll be beautiful with enchilada sauce and ink on it, Laura. Only you would come up with that.
A lavender background. But yeah, that's mine. Sarah, you're
that's a great one. That is a great one.
So I was dying for this green and white kind of floral print BCBG that was
Bessé Beijing.
Uh-huh, exactly. It was actually a bridesmaid's dress.
Okay.
Straight up was a bridesmaid's
right.
dress. And I was dying for it. So I went to my mom. I was in boarding school and my mom came to Austin and we went to the mall. We love the mall.
Uh-huh. Oh, and Branch kids, we love the mall.
For sure.
And pizza delivery. The fact that you can call and pizza comes to your door, it's still...
Y'all, truly, she lived in New York for a decade, and the fact that you can still order pizza and it comes to your house, it still kind of blows our minds. I mean, it really does. It's pretty magical. But so we went to the mall, and we went to the BCBG, Bessé Beijing store, and was, you know, asked if they had the dress. They didn't have the dress, and I had a magazine cut out of it, of course, or maybe a catalog, and they didn't have the dress, but we found one that was white and kind of, it was lace and it was tiered all the way down with a big satin ribbon that tied in the back. and cream? Spaghetti no, straps. White. It was cream. Okay, it was okay. Kind of cream. And it was maybe a little bridal, but I thought it was so cool.
And I flew down and did your hair.
Yep, aww, she did.
And what? So and what did your? What was your hair like?
Oh, so she just did like it was
barrel curled.
Well, actually, barrel curled first, and I have the straightest hair ever. It does not hold a curl. And then she pulled it back in this, you know, the side pony was really cool. Pretty. So I had a really deep side part, and then a little side pony with some curl
and a little wisps. It was pretty special.
But don't worry, I got asked by a senior, so I felt very cool. I had a senior date and a good dress, and my sister did my hair.
Our mom is long-suffering, Laura, if you can't tell. Poor thing. We actually called her this morning from Capitol and was like, there's just a couple really special things. Don't you love your daughters?
You don't mind. You need some Southwest miles, right? You don't mind if we put those on your credit card?
We have a rule with our brother that where two or more are gathered, mom pays. Hilarious. She's getting a little tired of it.
Now that we're gathering every day, she doesn't love that as much.
That's so good. I love that. Thank you so much. I just loved having Thank you. Please come back.
We would love that. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
What We Wore is produced by Capitol and Balto Creative Media. The original song, Someone So Enchanting, was composed and performed by Britt Drozda. What We Wore is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.